I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Kelly, and welcome to Growth in Progress, the podcast where we have open and honest conversations about things that aren't usually discussed, but that can help us all to grow.
In each episode, we spend some time catching up and share a recommendation of something we've really enjoyed recently. And then we go on to discuss a topic that we feel is really relevant to the things that are going on right now. These are often the sort of things that a lot of people are probably thinking about, but aren't necessarily having the conversation about. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to hit subscribe and leave us a 5-star review because it makes a huge difference and we really appreciate it. So how you doing, my love?
I'm good. I survived the storm. I feel like that's all everyone's talking about. And obviously, because we always chat about the weather, we have to start with the storm.
Of course. Anyone who is in the UK, we've had Storm Eunice with us for a couple of days. And I mean, she's caused chaos, frankly. Like, actually, it's really bad. Like, some people have lost their lives. But thankfully, it wasn't as bad for us. Whereabouts, how was it for you? Because I feel like the Midlands was meant to be like, okay.
It wasn't too, I mean, it was just windy and rainy. There's been like a few trees that have gone down, but nothing like, not like it was in the south or really far up north. But I feel like it's just carried, I think it's actually a different storm now because it's still howling gale and raining outside. If you can hear it, I'm very sorry. But yeah, I think it's another storm now.
I think it's Storm Franklin now, isn't it?
Oh, I mean,
we've had them all. It's only February and we've already had, what, 3 or 4 huge storms this year? Like, I'm praying for a nice summer.
Oh, God, I hope so. How are you doing now? What have you been up to?
Good, thanks, love. Not done an awful amount because of said storm, but over the past like couple of weeks, we've had like a lot of family time. We've got, like, we have a lot of birthdays in February. Like, I think we have at least one a week every week in February, but it's just meant that we've spent a lot of time recently, like, with family, seeing extended family to celebrate. And do you know what? It's been so nice. I think because it's like, we've always said, like, we like this time of year because we get to celebrate so many things with family. And obviously for the past couple of years, that's been a little bit tricky. So it's just been really nice to do that sort of thing again this year and just, yeah, see people and enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, that is so nice. And also this time of year as well, when the weather is a bit crap, it's nice to have things like that to look forward to and like actually something to celebrate.
Totally. Like, it's really wholesome. And it's just been nice to catch up with people and like discuss the latest Wordle, which is like my latest obsession. And I'm okay at it, but like, I mean, I'm learning a lot of new words.
Oh my God. I either get it on like the second row or I don't get it. I seem to have no in between.
And on some days, like, my brain is just in gear and I can smash it in a few minutes. And other days I'm looking at it and I'm like, there are no words in the English language that have this, to a point where, like, you know, if you put in a word that isn't a real word, it comes up saying this word is not in the list, which I think is a very diplomatic way of saying you're making words up. I get that very frequently because I'm like, maybe there is a word that goes like FFGLM. So it's been testing my English skills, but yeah. Do you want to share your recommendation for the week?
Yeah. So my recommendation is a book. It's Sorrow and Bliss by Meg Mason.
Ooh.
And you've probably heard of it if you've not read it, because everyone has been on the hype about it. And it was one of those things, I was like, God, everyone's talking about it and I don't want it to be overhyped and me not enjoy it. And also, as we've discussed before, because it's kind of like a domestic setting, not really a fan of those like domestic style books. But once I got into it, and it didn't take me too long to get into it, maybe like 50 pages, it is, the writing is incredible. So it's told from the point of view of Martha, who, she's telling the story retrospectively after her and her husband have split up. And throughout the story, you're aware that she has mental health issues. You don't know what, but she is absolutely like the queen of self-sabotage. But she's also incredibly intelligent and she's incredibly aware that she's done it. Like, afterwards, her reflections on it are like painful and so like insightful into how the human mind works and all of those feelings of like guilt and shame and how other people see, but she can't help herself from doing these things and like treating her husband awfully, even though obviously she can't help it and she doesn't realize it, and he just absolutely like loves her so much. And kind of towards the end of the book, she gets a diagnosis, and the diagnosis is blanked out. And at first I was like, oh my God, like, what is it? Because she's horrified. Like, she is distraught by this diagnosis. And I'm like, what on earth is the diagnosis? And then at the end, there is a note from the author, and I was like, how did I not see this? But it is such a clever way of like not shoehorning sort of one person's experience of mental illness into like a certain experience, because obviously so many people experience mental health issues and they present so differently for different people. And I think it was a really, she said she didn't want to badly describe someone's experience or diminish it. And I think that's so powerful, but the way she writes, honestly, like it's absolutely beautiful. And it is a really incredible book. It is heavy at times, I will say. There's a lot of like heavier bits, but there were points where I was literally laughing out loud, like tears running down my cheeks, just because of like, I don't know, just how quirky, like the way her mind works, and just the real like sarcasm and like dry wit of the things that she comes out with, because she's just also so intelligent. I really recommend giving it a read. Yeah, it is a fantastically written book, and I do think it's been worthy of the hype.
That's really interesting, because I've heard so much about it, and the reason I haven't read it is because everyone said, oh, it's quite an intense book.
It is.
And I was like, oh, I'm not sure I'm like quite in that zone right now. I love the fact that she blanked out the diagnosis. I think that's so interesting as well, because it also stops you bringing your preconceived ideas of what X mental illness means, like what this diagnosis means in terms of like how someone will behave. I love that as like a writing tool. And that's brilliant. And everyone I've spoken to who's read this book has said the same thing, like the writing is absolutely beautiful and just so clever. So it's on the list, maybe not one for the next couple of weeks, but it definitely is on the list soon, because I know we've spoken so many times about when specifically books, I feel like less so with films and TV shows because you've invested less time, but with a book, if it's really, really like really, really hyped, both of us are a bit like,
And yeah, is it really is that a bit good? Heavy. Like, you just got to be in the right mind frame as well. So yeah, definitely recommend. What's your recommendation this week?
So mine's a little bit left field, and I've kind of not been sure whether to recommend it because I think it's quite niche, but it is The First Monday in May, which is a Netflix documentary, and it focuses on the Met, their fashion and costume department, and specifically the Met Gala. So it's filmed in 2017, maybe 18, and it's the year they had the China Through the Looking Glass, I think it was called, exhibition. And it starts kind of like beginning of the year, and it tracks them all the way up until the Met Gala. It's the year where Rihanna performs and she wears that iconic yellow dress, which I'm sure everyone remembers. And it is very niche. Like, if you enjoy fashion and you enjoy high fashion, and you will love it. Like, if you find the inner workings of people like Anna Wintour interesting, and I find her fascinating, then you will love it, because she's very, very heavily involved. But they also touch on things like why there's been such a stigma around that department at the Met, and why they struggled to get funding, and how fashion is still seen as a frivolous female pursuit, when actually, especially when you're looking at high fashion, so much of it is art. It's just art you can wear. And the level of detail in these exhibitions, the considerations that are taken to make sure that they don't feel gimmicky, or that it is really a work of cultural appreciation and not appropriation, is fascinating. The behind the scenes of like these people who work on putting together these collections and repairing things, and like some of the items are iconic from the fashion industry. They use a lot of John Galliano's collection for Dior that he did in the early noughties, shortly before he was removed from Dior. And they actually interview him in it. And I knew he'd kind of been dismissed from Dior, and I didn't put two and two together as to why until this documentary. I was like, oh my God, of course it was, because some people might remember in the early noughties, he behaved in a way that was like outright anti-Semitic and racist. And Dior dismissed him very quickly. And he touches on that, but his perspective is very like, I don't condone his perspective, but it was interesting to hear him talk about it and then talk about his work and the impact it's had on his work. And almost that like victim mentality of like, I was shunned from the industry. And I was like, yeah, but also like, that's not okay. But they tackle a lot of these things head on. And there's a lot about Anna Wintour. And the thing that I think you'd really find interesting as well is they discuss with Anna Wintour, and they have a few different people from the industry comment on this as well, saying her reputation would be so different if she were a man. And it's not saying that she's easy to work for, a lovely, cuddly human being, but how much of the persona she's created is exactly that, a persona to protect herself and her family and her personal life, but how the criticism she gets for how she behaves would not be there if she were a man. I think it's so interesting. They actually also very briefly touch on The Devil Wears Prada with her, and her response is interesting. Really interesting.
I was literally just thinking that. Like, all I know about this kind of thing is Devil Wears Prada, and it's not even real.
It's very loosely based. It's one of her ex-assistants who wrote the book. So there's always been that thing of like, oh my God, are you Miranda Priestly type thing? But the way she deals with the questioning is extremely interesting. And I was like, oh God, like, I really admire her. I don't condone everything she does, but I do admire her as a businesswoman and a woman in publishing, and particularly a woman in the fashion industry. And I think if you are someone who has any interest in any of those, go and watch the documentary. I specifically am now planning our trip to New York whenever we eventually go, around making sure that the Met's costume department exhibition will be open when we go. It was a really interesting insight into a world that I find fascinating, but don't have a lot of knowledge of. And you don't have to have intricate knowledge of the fashion industry in order to appreciate it. I think if you do, it will obviously add to that, but it's quite an accessible fashion documentary. It doesn't feel like a gimmick.
I would be interested to watch that, because although it's not like what I'm specifically interested in, I do love those kind of behind the scenes documentaries, especially when it does go that bit deeper. And like you said, there's that kind of angle of talking to Anna Wintour and addressing how like she's positioned in the industry as a woman. I think that's really interesting that they've decided to tackle that as well.
And I wish it was kind of a series of other similar documentaries, because I think it would be a brilliant series. But if you're a bit of a fashion geek, I think there'll be things in it you appreciate. Like when we were in Paris of the Week, I will never shut up about Paris, sorry everyone. But we went to Galeries Lafayette, and we were walking. They have now like a vintage section in Galeries Lafayette, which I think is brilliant. And it's like old designs. Like I say old, they're like 15 plus years old. But they're iconic designs. And I was kind of saying to her, I was like, look at this bag. Everything on here is hand stitched. And he was like, oh, okay, cool. Like that is cool. If you find that sort of thing interesting, you will love the behind the scenes of this documentary, because they literally have people like reattaching like the tiniest sequins. And honestly, it's incredible. But it's on Netflix. And if you aren't huge into fashion, I would say it's brilliant background watching.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I'm going to keep an eye out for more things like that on Netflix, because I never watch fashion documentaries. I don't know why. Like, it's just not an area of documentaries that I watch. Anyone has any more recommendations of like fashion industry documentaries, please like let me know, because I want to do a deep dive into these.
So this week we're chatting about prioritizing happiness, because honestly, I feel like it's often at the bottom of all of our to-do lists when we're working, when we're looking after family or children, dealing with our responsibilities, whether that's at work or outside of work. And when we were like planning for this episode, I thought, how often do you actually just pause for a second and ask if you're prioritizing your own happiness? And I'm not talking like just massive big things. I'm talking like the day-to-day smaller things. Like, how often do we actually pause and really think about that? Because I feel like it's really not as often as it should be.
Yeah, I think that's especially recently, we've all become quite conditioned to think of other people and put their needs first. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being considerate and aware of other people and their needs, but it's about prioritizing, isn't it? Like, we'll prioritize so many things in our life to ensure health and our mental well-being, but actually happiness is so important, especially when it's happiness that isn't at the expense of someone else. So if it's just happiness that will just benefit you and won't harm anyone, I think we could all do prioritizing that a bit more, because it's all about being happy at the end of the day. Like, life is so much better when you feel happy and fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And I don't think it, when you think about happiness and leading a life of happiness that you want, we're not talking about quitting your job and moving to the Seychelles, although that would be really nice. And if that's what makes you happy, then like, absolutely, if it's within your means, then go for it. But I think we really underestimate the power that we have to kind of cultivate happiness, even in like smaller areas of our day-to-day life. Like, could be following a hobby, like playing a sport or a crafting class or yoga or meeting up with friends and enjoying your favorite coffee. I think there's so many small ways that you can incorporate happiness. But I think you're right when you say it's about prioritizing. There's like, how often are you actually prioritizing you?
And I think it's also about understanding what it is that makes you happy. Because mm-hmm. on different levels, because there are different levels of happiness. Like, there's obviously the happiness of like your whole life. Like, are you happy with your life? You kind of in love with your life, as it were. And then there's the level of like the feeling, like the emotion of happy day to day, because we can't all be happy all the time. And I think there's a danger of it almost leaning into that toxic positivity mindset. But there's a middle ground where it's the day-to-day things that just enhance your life and make it a little bit better. Like you said, it might be going for coffee. It might be that whenever, like, I don't know, I know a lot of us are having to go back into offices now, which there's a lot of that that's great. But like the early wake-up calls and walking to a train station in the rain, I'm not enjoying that. But on those days, it's like, okay, I know that treating myself to a really nice coffee that I wouldn't normally have at home will spark a bit of happiness. And it's those little things, I think, that allow you to enjoy it a bit more. And when you start embracing the little ways to make you happy, I think it becomes much easier and a much more natural, I guess, actually, maybe not easier, but it's more natural to start prioritizing your happiness on a much bigger scale of like your life mm-hmm. generally and what is important to you and understanding what is important to you.
Yeah, I think when you're speaking about the bigger things as well, that like happiness, yeah, you can just feel it on the day to day, and it's just at its core is like a simple emotion. Are you happy? Like, yes or no. But I feel like there's a lot of other feelings and emotions that can go into happiness too, that play a big part in those kind of bigger aspects of life, like fulfillment. Do you feel fulfilled by what you do, the people around you? Do you feel like supported? Do you feel proud of what you do? Do you look forward to your day-to-day activities? And I think it's important to say, like, everyone's idea of happiness is so, so different. Don't compare what your idea of happiness is to someone else's. But I do think it's important to have that self-awareness of what is it that makes you feel happy? What is it that you want to prioritize and aim for in your life that will make you feel fulfilled, and or whatever it is that's important to you? I think especially as we get older, I think having that awareness is so important, because as cliche as it sounds, we only have one life, and I don't want to reach 80 and think, God, I wish I'd figured that out sooner and done that because it made me really happy. Like,
yeah,
life goes so quickly. And that's why I think it is important to figure that out and find out what happiness is for you.
And I think that comes along with that realization that your happiness is your responsibility, and no one else is going to be able to make you happy in the long term, I guess. Like, not in a dismissive way of partners or friends or family, but like, at the end of the day, if I'm waking up every day or you're waking up every day and we're not happy, we're the ones who have to kind of reassess and work out why that is. And I think when you realize that and realize it's an inside job, like, other people can positively influence you and make you feel happy in the short term, but the long term, like, those moments when you're on your own and you're not sure how you feel, to get to those feeling like lighter and happier, you need to do the work, and you need to work on having a clear idea of what it is that really does make you happy. And that might be completely at odds at like to societal norms. It might be that you have a different way of working, you prioritize different things in your family life. You might say you don't even want a family, which is also totally fine. It might be prioritizing travel or prioritizing hobbies, whatever it is. You've got to work that out and take ownership over that. And I think when you do that as well, it does become easier to prioritize happiness, because you're more focused and you have a much clearer idea of what it is that you want to, like, what point you want to reach.
Oh God, you worded that so much better than me, because I've been trying to think about the right way to say, like, you need to be happy, like, alone and on your own and be happy with that. But obviously I'm not saying you should only ever be happy on your own, because obviously your partner, your friends, your family, like, they can all play massive roles in your happiness. But I do totally agree that you're the only one in control of making, being in control of making those changes if there are areas that you're unhappy. It's not your partner's responsibility or your friend's responsibility. Like, obviously they can be supportive, but at the end of the day, that is on you. And I think especially what you're saying there about those bigger things, like, it's okay not to want to have kids, and or if you don't want to get married, or like any of those kind of things, you've made a conscious decision because you know you will be happier in whether with or without any of those things. And I think that's a really important comment to say about not sacrificing your own happiness at the expense of like society's expectations. Because I do feel like that's a really massive part of people will sacrifice what actually makes them happy because they think they should do what they're, like, air quotes, supposed to do.
And at the end of the day, you're the only one who's inside your head. You're the only one who, when you go to bed at night and you're lying there falling asleep, sure, you might think that society are judging you for the way you live your life, but in the nicest possible way, no one cares. But if you're not happy, you experience that. No one else is going to sleep. They're just worried about their own happiness and their own life. No one else is actually really judging you. And if they are judging you, it probably is not even really to do with you. It's much more of a them thing. Like, I read recently, someone's response is not your responsibility. And I think that is so important. It's not like you can go around saying stuff that's just going to hurt people or live in a way that is just going to hurt people. But ultimately, if someone wants to judge you for living your life in a way that feels authentic to you and makes you happy, that's on them. That's not your responsibility. But you've got to do, like, how do I put it? It's almost like you're the only one feeling what you're feeling. So don't make it harder for yourself. Don't live like a half life because you're worried other people are going to judge you, because they don't care. In the best possible way.
Yeah, I feel like we had a really similar conversation when we were chatting about, I can't remember which episode, but it was careers, like, about either quitting your job or knowing when it's time to move on. And like we were saying then, obviously we appreciate just quitting your job isn't an option, and we're not advising doing that at all, but only you can make the assessment of, okay, am I having more bad days than good? Because obviously not everyone loves their job every single day. No. But that's not possible. But if you find yourself more unhappy in your job than you are happy, and you feel like it's not right for you and it's not fulfilling you, only you can make that decision to start applying for other jobs, to start looking at other opportunities, or chat to your manager about other opportunities within the business, whatever it might be that fits you. I feel like, especially with work, because it does take up such a huge proportion of our lives. Like, if you are consistently unhappy at work, that is having a massive impact on your mental well-being and how you feel day to day. But there's not a lot that anyone else can do there for you. You need to take that action. And like you were saying, if someone judges you for leaving a job or moving into a different industry or retraining or going back to study, whatever it might be, again, that's on them.
Not only is that on them, but like, if you've done it and you've not thrown anyone under the bus, or you've not hurt anyone, or you've not, you know, done anything, you've not done anything that has negative consequences for other people. Because I think sometimes, particularly when we talk about women and happiness, happiness is perceived as being quite selfish and self-indulgent, and it doesn't need to be, and it isn't really. I think so long as you've kind of gone about prioritizing your happiness in a way that doesn't actively harm others, that's the most important thing. Like, it is on you to make those changes and go for it. And even if someone does turn around and judge you, or maybe talk about it with other people or whatever it is, you're not going to be the center of their universe for very long. And that is totally freeing to realize. Like, how many times have any of us seen someone living their best life literally and think, oh, I don't know, you have a bit of a bitchy thought, maybe like, oh, like, why are they getting to do that and I'm not? Or anything along those lines, like, oh, their life's so easy. You don't think about it every second of every day. And if you do, you should, like, that's like not good in itself. You probably need to address that. But most people don't think about it for any extended period of time other than the amount of time that photo is in front of them or that conversation is being had or whatever.
That's like a massive part of perception though, isn't it? Especially when it is online. And maybe that's why we feel like we'll be more judged for making those decisions that might make us happier, because we think, oh, how will other people perceive this? Because we know that we sit there and we make those judgments about that tiny little snapshot that we see of other people's lives. Like, subconsciously we know that that's what happens. But you're right, like, how quickly does that thought just pass through your head? And at the end of the day, if they're not impacting your life or you're not impacting anyone else's, why does it matter what decision you make if it's something that you feel is right for you?
It's hard and uncomfortable often to prioritize your happiness over someone else's, especially as we're kind of told, particularly as women, but within other marginalized communities as well, that you have to prioritize other people, that like your happiness comes lower on the pecking order. And that isn't true, but it's really hard to overcome those thought processes because they're so ingrained within us. And then on top of that, you've got to suddenly prioritize your happiness all the time. Like, that is really difficult. But I think if you start by making those smaller day-to-day steps of like, oh, actually, do you know what? Going to bed early does make me happier, or having ex or wife dinner will make me happier today, or whatever it is. And spending the time reflecting on when it is that you feel happiness, what are you doing when you feel really happy? Who are you with? What environment are you in? All of those things will help you to build a better idea of what happiness is for you, and therefore how you go after it and prioritize it more in your life.
Yeah, I think it's that more like big picture mentality, because obviously you cannot be happy all the time every single day. Like, it's not realistic. But that doesn't mean you can't still prioritize your happiness in the bigger picture, whether it is small day-to-day things or whether it is changing the trajectory of your career or making bigger life decisions. I think, like, at the end of the day, you've only got one life, as like, again, as cliche as it sounds. But if you spend the whole time not really paying attention to what does actually make you happy, how are you going to feel when you look back on your life and the decisions that you made? Like, will you regret that? Is there something, like, I just think it's a good practice to just take stock every now and then of what you're doing. Like, just pause and actually think, does this, whatever it is, this job, this hobby, this way that I'm living, does it align with my happiness?
Yeah, completely. And I don't think it had, I mean, it might be, but it doesn't have to be an overhaul of your entire life overnight, and you have to throw everything you know out the window and go and like like live an entirely different life. It can be so much more incremental than that. And at the end of the day, when we've kind of got our last days, no one's going to turn around to us and be like, here's your medal for always putting other people's happiness first and never prioritizing your own happiness. Like, yes, of course it is good to prioritize other people. And of course it is kind and loving to think about other people's happiness, especially when it's like your family or like your children or anything like that. Of course, we're not saying that it isn't, but especially on the day-to-day, on the little things, no, you're never gonna get a reward or a thank you for never prioritizing your own happiness. And you're the one who experiences your happiness, so you've gotta, even if you can't fully prioritize it, if you have other commitments, there's ways to bring it in that I think it makes life better, doesn't it? At the end of the day, if we're not happy and we're not pursuing happiness, especially happiness that doesn't harm anyone else, then what's the point?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It goes back to that fulfillment and what is it that you enjoy in life? Like we were saying, it could be a small day-to-day thing, but if you never have anything in your day-to-day that you, where you put yourself first, yeah, how are you going to feel in 50 years time when you reflect on that?
Yeah, and there are totally ways to prioritize your happiness that also are considerate and kind and loving. Like you think of so many people who work in the NHS or work in care, or whose entire career is around making other people safe and secure and healthy and happy. You can still balance that with happiness in yourself. It doesn't have to be one or the other. And it goes back to what we were saying earlier, happiness is more than just like the I am happy emotion. There's so much more within it than that. But you can balance the two, but you have to keep yourself in check a bit and do that work to work out whether it is something that isn't truly making you happy or not.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. And as always, we would love to hear your thoughts. You can get in contact with us on the details, which are down in the show notes or via our Instagram page.
We will be back next week with an episode all about asking for help and how to ask for help and the importance of doing so. So if you have any thoughts or questions, please get in touch with us on those details or on our Instagram page. And we will share them anonymously, of course, at the end of the episode. We hope you have a brilliant week. Stay safe, stay happy, and we will speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.